I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. The militant group that calls itself the Islamic State decided to send another gruesome message to the United States today. It's an online video titled A Second Message to America, and it appears to show the beheading of American journalist Stephen Sotloff. The group, also known as ISIS, had threatened to kill Sotloff in its previous video, the one that showed James Foley's execution last month. We're going to hear from one of Sotloff's colleagues in a few minutes. First, though, we turn to Seth Jones, director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at the RAND Corporation. I asked him for his reaction earlier.
Well, this continues a cycle we've seen with ISIS and its predecessor groups, including al-Qaeda in Iraq, where they have periodically entered these phases where they have conducted beheadings of foreigners and then faced pretty vicious backlashes. And we're right now in a cycle where they seem to believe that it's in their interest to conduct these fairly gruesome beheadings and cover them on video.
So when was this video actually posted?
I first heard about it earlier today. I don't know the authenticity of when it was actually posted, and I can't confirm. I've watched it. I can't confirm that it's true. It looks pretty real.
You've seen it. What do we see, and what do we hear in it?
Well, we see somebody with a sharp knife clad in black that beheads what appears to be Stephen Joel Sotloff, who's 31, in sort of an orange jumpsuit in a desert kind of environment.
Stephen Sotloff is speaking in it, right?
Stephen Sotloff is speaking in it at one point. The version I've seen has him garbled a little bit. But obviously, it's a horrific video, and frankly, is reminiscent of the kinds of videos we saw engineered by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi in the 2003-2004 period in Iraq of a number of individuals.
Can you tell where it was recorded? I mean, does it appear to be that same desert landscape that was in the background in the James Foley video?
Hard to say. It's a little easier with some geospatial imaging to identify it, but hard to eyeball the location. I mean, it could be various areas either in Syria or Iraq.
And what are the actual steps in analyzing the veracity of this video? I mean, generally in cases like this?
There are a couple things that one would do. One is, first of all, identify the victim in this case and to get people who knew him to identify that indeed was him, including family members. Second would be to try to identify the area where this was done, and there are a range of computer packages that can help identify landscape patterns. And then in addition, I think with any government agency, efforts to intercept communications by, in this case, ISIS, talking about it, emailing about it to help confirm, or even people that were connected to the organization, human intelligence sources that can confirm it. So as many kinds of confirmations as possible.
So what do you think the next step from the U.S. government is going to be?
Well, it's hard to know. What is a little concerning is that ISIS has multiple other captives, including Americans. You know, there may be efforts to try and encourage ISIS to not execute these individuals. I don't think the United States is going to be in the position of wanting to negotiate for the release of any of these individuals, but it's possible with other Western governments that they may. The French, for example, have negotiated for the release of hostages in parts of North Africa. But I think the second thing is this may also harden the U.S. government's interest in continuing to perceive ISIS as a major threat to the U.S. and actually encourage it to increase its strike portfolio and its package against ISIS, especially in Iraq.
Seth Jones with the RAND Corporation, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
My BBC colleague Paul Danahar in Washington is the author of The New Middle East, The World After the Arab Spring. He also gave me his reaction to the news about Stephen Sotloff earlier today.
It's just incredibly depressing news. I think people feared the worst when they saw him appear at the end of the video in which James Foley was killed. There was very little chance that the plea for mercy from Mr. Sotloff's family would be listened to. ISIS have shown no mercy to anyone they've come across so far. I guess really many people were expecting that eventually this would happen. It was a matter really just of when.
Yeah, where does this now kind of resituate the whole war in Syria and Iraq?
Well, we now don't have a war in Syria and Iraq. We have one war, This war basically is in the area that ISIS, or the Islamic State, as they've now renamed themselves, control. They say they are creating an Islamic State. The border, to all intents and purposes, between Syria and Iraq has disappeared. And so we now have a situation where we have one war in the Middle East, and that war is across two countries. It's with an organization that has managed to capture many, many advanced bits of military from the Iraq, which was originally given to them by the Americans. We have a situation where America, as the president said last week, does not have a policy for ISIS in Syria. And if you don't have a policy in Syria, you can't really have a policy in Iraq, because this is one war and one organization. And I think what we've got now is basically the international community trying to play catch up, because everyone was warning that this is what would happen if a vacuum was created in Syria to allow the most extreme jihadi groups to basically pour themselves together, having been routed from Afghanistan, and to create a new terrorist stronghold, and that is in Syria and Iraq. And now we're just seeing the consequences of that.
Well, ISIS presented the White House with an ultimatum: stop bombing northern Iraq or we're going to kill another journalist. So is this going to engage the Obama administration in terms of foreign policy, do you think?
Well, I think what it has clearly done, and we've seen the missile attacks that have taken place since Mr. Foley was killed, it's very much focused the president's mind on ISIS. You remember that back in January, he was joking they were some kind of junior varsity team. I think the problem is that the president didn't take them seriously when many people said that he should. And now he is having to take them seriously because they are killing Americans on television. It will change the policy, but will it stop them carrying out actions against this group? No, because they know that ISIS is going to carry on murdering people as the way they have been. It may not be Americans. There is now the end of this video showing Mr. Sotloff. ISIS talks about murdering a British hostage. This is not an organization that you can negotiate with. We're basically now talking about the need to destroy them, because they cannot in any way be blunted. They have massive amounts of artillery. They have many, many thousands of men. They need to be defeated ideologically and militarily.
What are the big questions you have on your mind right now about what the implications are of an episode like this for the whole region?
Well, there's a couple of things. I think one thing we really have to worry about is the fact that we now have a magnet for every would-be jihadi, any disillusioned young man that's trying to find a purpose in life. In the same way we had in Yugoslavia during the war there, in the same way we had in Chechnya, we had it in Afghanistan, we now have a great big melting pot for people that are looking for a cause that they're willing to fight and murder and die for. And what we've seen now in the middle of the Middle East, in the middle of the most fractious part of the Middle East, somewhere that you can go and join a group and carry out the worst atrocities and almost do it without anyone stopping you. It's such a big area now. The borders are so porous. There seems to be no way to stop this flow. And the more that ISIS carries out these kind of high-profile murders, the more publicity they get, the more they will attract not only people from outside, Europeans and Americans, but if you live in the Middle East and you have to think about the security of your own family, you will join the side that you think can best protect them. And what we've seen in Iraq is many, many Sunni Muslims who probably don't actually agree with the ideology of ISIS, but they're joining them to stay alive.
Paul Danahar, the BBC's Washington Bureau Chief.